irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin. I'm a psychoanalyst specializing in food, weight, and body image issues, and I'm here to help you lose weight without dieting and make peace with food. And that means no more counting calories or carbs, no more thinking about food all the time. It really is possible to lose weight and gain health, all without ever going on another diet. Today, if you would like to call in and talk with me about anything that is going on with you related to food, weight, body image, anything that's going on, feel free to call me, 818-602-4929. Again, 818-602-4929. I would love to hear from you. So last week, I started to talk a little bit about, or actually, was it last week? 2 weeks ago? I started to talk a little bit about how to get through the holidays without gaining weight. And what we covered a few things, and I wanted to continue talking about that subject. So what we already talked about was how it's really when we talk about the holidays, it seems like it's like this month-long, 6-week-long kind of period of time. But when we really break it down, it comes down to a handful of days. And those days are now getting fewer and fewer. So, you know, we have Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, Christmas, Hanukkah. Well, that's 8 days, but Kwanzaa, also more than one day. New Year's Eve, just a handful of days. So if you think about which holidays you participate in, that just adds up to days and not weeks. So one thing to do is take it one holiday day at a time. And we also talked about being a friend to yourself, how you relate to yourself and how you respond to yourself is really important. And of course, how to figure out what's eating at you instead of focusing so much about what you're eating. So one thing that's really important when it comes to your relationship to yourself is to silence your inner critic. So if you've ever said anything like this to yourself, "Oh, you've got no willpower, you're not good enough, you're never going to lose weight, I'm such a loser." If any of that sounds familiar, that's your inner critic. And that critic makes you feel really bad. You don't need me to tell you that, obviously. That critic makes you feel horrible. And then when you feel horrible, you might just turn to food to escape your own mean voice. And by the way, if you noticed, when I was talking about like you've got no willpower, you're not good enough, you're never going to lose weight, so many people talk to themselves in second person as you. Right? So one thing that you can do right away is switch those yous into I's. Instead of saying, "Well, you've got no willpower," to yourself, say, "I've got no willpower." And sometimes that's hard to say, which is good, because if it's hard to be mean to yourself, you're going to stop being so mean to yourself. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, which is patient of mine who recently went to a holiday party, and she knew that it was going to be this, you know, really catered by this great restaurant, and it's going to be really yummy. And so she told me, she said, this is her talking, she said, "I decided this isn't the time to worry about what I'm eating. So I just decided that I'm going to eat whatever I want." And so she went to the party, and she told me, "Yeah, you know what? I went in with the good intentions. I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to stop when I'm full. I'm not going to deprive myself." And then she said that she did eat whatever she wanted, and she did not even eat too much of it. She just had what she wanted. And afterwards, she said to herself, "Oh, you're such an idiot. You're never going to lose weight. I can't believe you did that." Now, notice the way she talked to herself. She switched from I'm going to eat whatever I want, I'm not going to deprive myself, to you are such an idiot. you're such an idiot. You're never going to lose weight. So I asked her to say, switch the you to I. I asked her to say, I'm such an idiot. And she tried, and she could not do it because it felt really mean. And she's right. It was very mean. It was harsh. So as you can see, changing the way you talk to yourself can be very powerful. So instead of being critical to yourself, you got to learn to be kind. And one way to do that is to switch the you to the I, and also respond to yourself in comforting, soothing, acknowledging, validating words instead of food. So basically, comfort words instead of comfort food. So I like to say, if you wouldn't say it to a friend, a child, or someone you care about, don't say it to yourself. I sincerely doubt that my patient would have said to a friend who went to a holiday party and had whatever she wanted at this yummy catered event, oh, you're such an idiot, you're never going to lose weight. She would never in a million years say that to anybody else. But somehow, she could say it to herself. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you talk to yourself in a way that is unlike the way that you speak to anybody else in your life. So if you wouldn't speak that way to someone you love, someone you care about, why in the world are you saying it to yourself? Don't be mean. Be nice. Again, if there are any callers, 818-602-4929, you can talk about anything related to the holidays, to food, to weight, to whatever's going on with you. Feel free to give me a call. So next, we're going to talk about how to deal with people over the holidays. So sometimes it seems, I don't know if you feel this way, but to me, it seems like at holiday times, it's like every TV family is gathered at a table and it's loaded with turkey and trimmings and they're all looking happy and they're getting along wonderfully and they all love each other and everything just looks so perfect. If that is your life, that is awesome. Lucky you. But if not, you have a lot of company. Family get-togethers can be huge triggers for many people. So if you feel like you morph into a 10-year-old the moment you step into the house you grew up in, then the holidays can be super unsettling. If your family makes comments about what you're eating, that can be really tough. So what do you do? I'm going to tell you what to do. Because when you feel like other people are sort of mentally calculating how much weight you gained since they last saw you, or how much you're eating, or they're just observing you, it is humiliating and awful. So what is the answer? The answer is to be an observer. Keep the focus on what you think of them instead of what they may be thinking of you. So when you're listening and observing, you're not a participant. When you get some distance from your relatives and friends, you get some perspective that may help you feel better about the situation. Because when you see your mom or dad or grandparents criticize your sister or nephew or cousin or themselves, you can see how you learned to criticize yourself. When you realize your mom apologizes for every bite she eats, you will understand why you feel guilty about every bite you eat. And this can be very... I have a caller. Hold on. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I've called before. My name's Jessica. I haven't called in a while.
Hi, Jessica. Welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just had some questions about the holidays, since the holidays are coming up. How to deal with, I think, family members that maybe drive you a little crazy. How to not make that something that's like triggering for you, or how to handle that, basically.
Well, this is the perfect day to have that conversation because, I'm talking about that. So is there anything specific, like is there a particular family member that affects you in a certain way, or what? Can you be a little bit more specific?
I think it's just like a certain family member is like really gives me a lot of anxiety because they're really high strung all the time, and so like when it's like a just like an aunt, so when I have like big family gatherings and she's around, she already makes me really anxious just because of her energy. So I just was wondering how to deal with that anxiety, like, because during the holidays, I obviously don't want to be anxious around my family, but when she's there, it makes me feel really anxious.
And how does her, this aunt of yours, how does her anxiety manifest? Like, what when you say she's really anxious, how does that show?
She gets really high strung about like, getting everything prepared. Like, she'll be like yelling at different family members about like getting food ready, and like when it's supposed to be like a nice holiday celebration, it turns into like a really high stress situation.
Oh, that does not sound very pleasant. Okay, so are you helping her get ready, and then she'll just sort of stop and yell at you or yell at the collective group or whatever? So she,
yeah, it's just like the collective group. It's not even me specifically. It's just like the way she acts in general makes me feel really anxious.
Okay, so how do you feel about possibly saying something, but in a very measured tone? Like, what do you imagine would happen? Or tell me if you think this is something that you can even do, which is to, when she's starting on her, say, hey, aunt anxiety, can I take a moment? And in a very calm voice, say, you know what, when you yell like this, in such an anxious, heightened way, it makes me anxious and upset, and and I'm asking you to please not speak to me/us that way. This is ruining our moment. Like, this is supposed to be the holiday.
Yeah.
This is the, so sort of a, when this happens, I feel this, and can we please reset? Okay. I mean,
yeah,
what do you imagine?
That's a good idea. Yeah.
What do you imagine would happen?
Well, part of me feels like it would make her more high, like she'd be like more flustered. And then, cause I don't think she does it on purpose. She just like, it's just how she is. But then part of me feels like she would listen to me if I like pulled her aside and just explained to her that like we're all there as a family to have a nice celebration. She's kind of ruining it. I feel like she would listen to me.
Well, maybe she could hear it better if you acknowledge her anxiety. You know, aunt anxiety, I see that you're really anxious. I can see that you're worried. You're you know, what are you so worried about? Like, maybe you need to, instead of immediately telling her, hey, stop that, because that's not going to help.
Yeah.
But say, what are you really worried about? What is the worst that could happen here?
Yeah, that's a good idea, because I don't even think she would have an answer, to be honest. Maybe it would make her realize that she's doing it for no reason.
Exactly.
There's no reason for her to act like that.
Right. Or maybe, you know, her fears might be taking over, and so sometimes when people's fears take over, then they can't really think logically. They're just in fear mode, like, oh my god, Christmas dinner is gonna get burned, or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And then,
yeah, that's how she gets for no reason.
Then you're like, well, wait a minute, what makes you think that? What is your fear? It's gonna get burned. What's your fear? Why? How would that actually happen? How will it get burned? You know, and what you, yeah. So to, she's in a fear mode, and you want to bring in some reality to neutralize that fear, because fear just takes over with some people,
and
that could be helpful.
Yeah, I know. That's really good advice. Thank you. I'm definitely going to try that.
So part of it is dealing with her, but part of it is then how do you deal with your own anxiety? You know, what do you tell yourself? Sometimes what you have to do is kind of calm your body to calm your mind. And if
I've heard you talk about the muscle up. I forget what it's called, but where you tighten up all your muscles and hold it and then let go.
Exactly. Yes. So if I just say, hey, Jessica, you know, like, chill, relax. You're going to be like, right. You're just going to get probably more upset if you're anything like me. What do you mean, relax? But if I say, okay, like, let's just tighten every muscle in that you can, like you're, and you guys who are listening, try it. It sounds kind of goofy, but it is so effective. If you just tighten your abs and your legs and your biceps and you just kind of clench your whole body as much as possible and hold it for like at least 10 seconds and then release, it's like, oh, you can feel this relaxation, and that gives you just a little moment to transfer your relaxed body to your relaxed mind, because it's hard to calm your mind when your body feels anxious.
Yeah, I've actually tried, because I heard you talk about that on one of your other shows, and I tried it, and it really helps, because I think the anxiety, a lot of the time it feels like just like a mental thing, but a lot of it is physical as well. Like if anyone's ever had like a panic attack or anything, like it feels like your body ran a marathon or something, because it is like a physical reaction as well. So when I get anxious, like it is nice to do something physical to also help with the emotional aspect of it.
Yeah. And then, so that's one thing you can do. And then also look at the way that you're talking to yourself and responding to yourself. So when this aunt goes into her anxiety mode and gets really heightened and you can feel that energy coming off of her, you know, what do you tell, and then you feel yourself respond, what do you tell yourself?
I usually just try to breathe. just breathe through it, but it's just hard because she's really...
Okay, what if you had a twin sister and you and your twin sister had the exact same reactions to this aunt, and you see your sister and she's just like, oh, just breathe. What would you say to her other than just breathe and cleanse your muscles and relax them? What would you say to, you know, to kind of calm her down?
I'm not sure. Maybe just like... like it's not your fault that she's acting like this, I guess.
So you'd give some reassurance. So that's where maybe you want to remember the acronym VARY, V-A-R-Y. And when you get in a situation where you feel triggered or upset or anything, you respond to yourself with validation, acknowledgement, and reassurance. So VARY sounds for validate, acknowledge, reassure yourself, just to make it easy to remember.
Validate, acknowledge, reassure yourself.
And it is interesting that you connected feeling responsible, like, oh, it's not your fault that she's this way. So maybe there's a part of you that somehow does feel responsible. I don't know if that resonates.
So I feel responsible for, not that I'm directly responsible, but it's like I want to stop her from acting like that and ruining the holiday for the whole family.
Right. The other thing you can do is, whose sister is she? Like your dad's, your mom's?
My dad.
Okay. So one thing you can do is beforehand go to your dad and say, look, Aunt Anxiety is, you know, she can't help herself, but can we kind of do a preemptive strike. Can we be prepared, and can you back me up if I say anything? Maybe you want to say something to her. And just maybe he can help out.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you. I'll definitely do that this holiday season. Hopefully it will be better.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear from you again, Jessica, and happy holidays, and let us know how it goes.
Thank you. I'll definitely be calling back. Thank you, Dr. Nina.
Okay. Bye, Jessica. Great question. That Hallmark holiday family, I do not think exists. Lots of people think it exists, but it doesn't. Families are complicated. Some more complicated than others, but that was a good question that Jessica asked. So getting back to what I was talking about regarding families, but first, if anyone else wants to call in, 818-602-4929. I would love to hear from you. And, let's get back to families. So one thing you can do is be an observer, right? Observe your family members as if they were actors in a play. Now, there are usually certain types of people at these gatherings. Jessica already told us about the anxious relative who's just really nervous and freaked out and makes everyone else nervous and freaked out. Oh, hold on. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina. Who's this? Hello? Hi there. You're on with Dr. Nina. Who's this?
Hey, Nina. This is Anne from New York. How are you?
Hi, Anne from New York. Welcome back.
Thanks. I just have to say, first of all, I think this topic is brilliant because I know I'm about to fly home and there's a lot of subconscious stress going on there. And I know I am not the only human in America that is thinking about how am I going to make it through the holidays with my family. I love
so,
my family. But, yes. Every family has different stuff you just got to work with, you know?
Yes, you are certainly not the only human who is has some trepidation, both trepidation and enthusiasm about going to see her family. So, what is the particular situation with your family?
Well, maybe there's a specific question in this. I'm not quite sure, but something I've been thinking a lot about lately was inspired by our conversations about self-acceptance. And as I started thinking about that more, I realized that it probably can't just stay with me, but that I have to accept others. And that sounds so basic. I live in New York where acceptance of others is the mantra, right? It's how we live. But when you're with family members that are difficult or with loved ones or whatever it is, what does that actually look like in practice? Because sometimes they just drive you crazy or they do dumb things or they've, you know, intentionally hurt you or unintentionally hurt you, or they just have that weird tick that drives you up a wall, you know? I guess my question is, how does self-acceptance bleed into others' acceptance, and what does that actually look like?
Those are great questions, and I think that when we talk about self-acceptance, what, if I recall this correctly, what resonated with you was the idea of you don't have to love every bit of yourself. Self-acceptance means you accept the qualities that you have. Some of them are outstanding, and some of them maybe you want to change, but you accept the overall you. So it's the mm-hmm. same. In other words, you don't have to be perfect to accept yourself. So other people, similarly, don't have to be perfect to be acceptable. Now, that doesn't mean that you just kind of ignore the parts of them that make you crazy. But when you balance it And when you see their overall kind of, I don't know, language of love, like there's a book called The Five Love Languages, and they talk, the author mm-hmm. talks about, you know, some people show their love with words, some people show with actions, some people show their love physically with hugs. And so, but if you have someone who expects that love sounds like, oh, I love you, you're the best thing on earth, and doesn't get that, doesn't get an I love you from the person they're with, but instead gets hugs, they have to realize, oh, this person does love them. They just have they each have different languages of love.
Mm-hmm.
So to recognize like that there are parts of your family that they, you know, that, I'm speaking kind of generally, but feel free to jump in and tell me about any specific type of person that you're encountering, like the anxious aunt, like the anxious aunt. Is to balance the good qualities of each of these people with the not so good, and to really recognize, well, what is their way of showing love, what is their way of showing acceptance to you, what is their way of you know, how are they communicating? So if you have a family that's constantly saying, you know, well, what are you eating, and you shouldn't eat sugar, I believe this is the family you've described in the past, you know, mm-hmm. don't have that. But to remember that as maddening as that is, from their perspective, they're showing care and concern. Now, they're showing it in a way that you don't appreciate. But if you can hang on to, okay, this is their way of showing that they care about me, they love me, they're concerned about me, they want the best for me, even though they're doing it in this clumsy way, it can take the edge off. It can take the charge out of how annoying it is to have someone food police you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I love what you're saying about taking it from self to others. You don't have to love everything, but that doesn't mean, I guess if there are things that you don't love, that doesn't mean they aren't acceptable, right? And yeah, I guess about my family particularly, both of my parents have had rocky relationships with sugar, as well as a lot of people within my mom's family, and so it's become this kind of weird taboo thing. And I feel pretty strong in my own convictions that food isn't moral and it's not good or bad, and listen to your body and everything will be fine at this point, although that's taken me a few years to get to. But I'm wondering now, like, as I'm watching these people struggle over and over and over again, not making any progress, continuously be frustrated with their relationship with food, and as, I don't know, I don't want to sound like I'm better than them, because that's not what I'm trying to communicate at all, but I've just broken out of that cycle and now have a really healthy relationship with food and an enjoyable relationship with food, and I have very little stress ever going into the holidays about what's going to be there and what I'm going to eat and what I'm not going to eat, because I just trust myself. I don't know. I want to help the people that I love get to that same point, but I see a lot of resistance and to that idea that food isn't bad and you don't have to control, and that if you give yourself permission to eat the cookies, that actually won't swing back the other way and hurt you. And I know it's such a sensitive issue, and so I don't know how to bring it up, or when is the best time to bring it up, or anything like that. I want them to be happy, and I see that what's happening right now isn't bringing that happiness that they could have.
But there's something about that that is serving them in some way. So mm-hmm. as much as you want to say, hey, the anticipation of deprivation is going to make you have more in the long run, or you're going to be on this diet, then you're going to go off of it and you're going to go on another diet, there's another way. You're not addicted to sugar. You're addicted to using sugar to resolve conflict. There's another way. Let me free you. Let me show you. It It reminds me of, I've shared this story before, but it reminds me of many years ago, I had this group, and this new woman was at the group, and she, about like an hour into the group, and the group's an hour and a half, she said, "Wait a minute, are you telling me that there's something going on in my head that's making me eat?" And she said it with such venom and such horror, it's just so nasty. And I said, "Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying." And she said, "How
you got it.
Dare you?" She said, "How dare you? How
oh, no.
dare you?" She said, "I am a food addict." And with that, she popped up and walked out of the room, leaving the whole group going, "What just happened?"
Wow.
So why would she prefer to be a food addict than realize that there's something going on, something's eating at her? Because it is a lot easier to say, "Oh, it's this substance that I need to stay away from. That's just the problem. The problem is in my brain, and it's this substance, and I just need to use willpower," right? That is easier than saying, "Oh, wait a minute, it's not what I'm eating, it's what's eating at me." When people start to say, "What's eating at me?" they get in touch with things. They are using food to divert from. Because it's easier to focus on, "Well, I only had 3 grams of sugar today," than, "Well, you know what, I feel very unhappy with some aspect of my life," or "I feel very helpless," or I
feel really unfulfilled, or...
Yes, exactly. So that's why there's resistance, because it serves people in some way. And of course, when you break free, when you liberate yourself from all of this food, weight, body image stuff, and you naturally want to share that with them, the problem is they really don't want it. So the only time to share it is when they come to you and they say, "How can we get what you have? I'm ready."
show me the secret.
Show me the way. Yeah. Just remember,
and at that point,
just,
I say, "Well, have you heard of a woman named Dr. Nina? Strongly recommend 10 out of 10 to all of my friends."
Oh, thank you. If I get a call saying,
"Yes,
how dare you?"
You're like, "Oh, shoot." Christmas dinner must not have gone well. I love what you're saying, because I think you're right. I don't know what it is that is uncomfortable for these family members, but you know, there might be something, and I've seen in my own life, like, you're not ready to face it until you're ready to face it, you know, and me being like, "There's another way," isn't going to help speed that along. In fact, it'll probably make them more resistant and more feel more strongly that they're on the right path, I guess, you know.
Right. Yeah, because resistance is a form of protection. So if people resist something, it's because whatever they're doing serves them in some way. So if you remember that again, a lot easier to focus on what you're eating than what's eating at you, which people use food or use thoughts of food or eating or, you know, obsessing about every calorie or whatever. They use that as a way of distracting themselves from what's eating at them.
Mm-hmm.
So if people...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
No, yeah, you can go, and then I'll jump back in.
Okay, I was going to say, if someone's doing something they don't want to do, or they're not doing something they want to do, so if they're eating something they know is bad for themselves, and they're not exercising like they know they should, there's always a reason, and it's not willpower. It's that not doing it is more helpful to them in some unknown way, which is where the unconscious comes in. It's more helpful to them than doing it. And if they're doing something they don't want to do, like, you know, eat sugar when they don't want to, even mm-hmm. though it's fine to eat sugar. So the other day someone said to me, well, sugar's a drug. And I'm like, no, it's not. And they said, it's not? It's not a drug?
Actually, no.
No, it's not a drug. It's
yeah, luckily
empty
we don't
calories.
Have to vote in all 50 states whether cookies are allowed.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, I kind of lost my train of thought, but if someone is focusing on that, it means they're not focusing on something else. And so just mm-hmm. remember that they're doing something for themselves, even though from your vantage point and from your perspective, it's really frustrating because you know that there's liberation. There's another way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's helpful. And I, especially, you know, with the holidays approaching and more family time approaching, that's been nice to talk about to kind of help me solidify my thoughts. And I want to say battle plan, but the battle plan is just to let people be themselves, right? And come to their own discoveries. So
exactly.
That'll be helpful.
And I love how you came up with that, you know, war metaphor, since my website is Win the Diet War, right? WinTheDietWar.com.
Okay.
So this battle plan goes really well with that. But yes, and so does liberation. So So just take the pressure off of yourself to convert your family members from mm-hmm. you know, professed sugar addicts into, you know, people who can eat anything. Not going to happen until
right.
they want to.
All right. Well, I'm not going to take it upon myself to, I guess, save themselves from sugar. But I wonder, I know that there are probably other callers. Can I ask you one tiny more
yes, of course.
Question?
Yes, yes.
Is there time?
Yes, yes.
So, okay. We're going to move away from family members that I can't get rid of to relationships that you can move in and out of. I just started a new relationship with a guy that I'm crazy about, really into him. And, you know, when you're, like, starting to get to know someone, you kind of get to know the way that they eat and the way they like to eat. That's just part of it, you know? And so over the course of getting to know my hunger signals, I've become really kind of adamant of like, no, I'm going to eat when I want to eat and you eat whatever you want to eat. But if I'm not hungry, I'm not going to force myself to eat just to like make you happier, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Good.
I'd rather listen to me and what I say. I don't think that causes tension, but I also don't know like how to do that in a way that doesn't make him overconscious about like the way he decides to eat or anything like that, because that's not what I want to do either. And so I was wondering if you had any advice about how to mitigate that situation.
Well, first I would ask him, I would say, hey, look, do you have any feelings or does this about what I've told you or about these sort of boundaries that I've set, does it make you feel weird about it in any way? Ask him.
That is so basic and something I never thought of, so thank you. Yeah, I should just ask him if that bothers him at all. And I mean, even if it does, I'm not going to necessarily change what I do, but it would, I think, be helpful just to know what he's actually thinking.
Exactly. It may bother him, it may not bother him, but you need to find out from him. And then if he says, you know, it does bother me because I feel weird eating alone, then you can say, well, what's weird about it? Like, what does it mean to you? And mm-hmm. and get to know each other even on a deeper level. Communication
right.
and vulnerability is what brings people closer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I have so many little things to work on, and I can't wait to talk to you again soon. Thank you so much, Nina.
You're so welcome, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. Take care.
Bye. So Families. Okay, so I was saying that it's really important to observe your family members as if they were actors in a play. And there are usually certain types of family members. And I'm gonna hit some of the highlights. So the first are the drunk friends and relatives. Some of them are happy drunks, some of them are mean, angry drunks. Neither is fun. So when people are kind of drunk, they tend to say things they wouldn't ordinarily say, and they may feel more free to make comments about your weight or your life choices. And so that's one type. I'm going to get to how you deal with these types later. The other type are the perfect lives type. We are so happy and everything in our lives are perfect and we are perfect, and they prefer living in a fantasy world where they believe they're perfect to the real world. And for those of us in the real world, that can be really frustrating. So when the message from these people is, nothing should bother you, you should just be happy, that discounts reality, and it's very frustrating because you know what? Life is not perfect, and living in denial does not help. The next category are the jealous relatives and friends. And those are the ones who want what you have and begrudge you happiness. Now, no one wants to believe that this exists in families, but it exists in families. So if you got a new car, they're going to buy a better car. Or if you got a new car, they tell you that you're ostentatious. And really, why did you spend all that money on your new car? If you're struggling, they have it worse. And they can be really frustrating. And it's hard when someone who's supposed to be there to support you the most and be happy for you actually has the opposite kind of reaction. Then there are the show-offs. They think they're better than everyone else because they can outspend everyone else. And the last category are the people who are living in the past. And their main topic of conversation is how great it used to be back in the day. They just can't handle being in the now. And worse, they bring up their version of how things were in your past. Like, you always were such a chubby thing. Or, you did so great in school. I would have thought you'd be on top of the world by now. Or things like that. So think about which categories match your family. When you're observing other people, you don't feel as much under observation. And that makes you feel less self-conscious, which makes you feel better. And when you feel better, you're not going to cope with food. See how that all works so circularly? Is that even a word? It works so well, symbiotically. So, you don't need to cope with food when you are feeling good. You don't need to cope when you're feeling good. So now let's get to how do you deal with these people. So the first thing is prepare clever comebacks. Benjamin Franklin once said, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. I love Benjamin Franklin. If I could have a dinner party with people who are, not with us anymore, he would definitely be at that table. So the opposite of that is by preparing, you are more likely to succeed. So keep in mind that when you go home for the holidays or you go to your parents' house or, you go to someone else's house, it can cause you to kind of temporarily regress. So if you feel like a 10-year-old or a 5-year-old as soon as you step through the doors of your childhood home, it can be difficult to hold on to your adult self. So having some snappy comments at the ready will definitely help you through. So be ready. Be ready for comments and questions about your food choices and your weight. Like, here's some common ones. Like, do you really need to eat that? Or, you put on a few pounds since last year. Oh, horrible. So there are three ways to deal with these types of comments. One, set limits. Say, I'm not talking about what I'm eating or how much I weigh, period. Or say, I don't like talking about my weight, so I would prefer if you didn't either. So that's just the limit setting, just very simple, like no, big stop sign. The second way is to use humor. So someone says, you really need to eat that? You say, No, I don't need it, but I do want it. Is there a problem? Or, you know, wow, you've really packed on a few since last year or something like that. And you would think that people don't say these things, but every year after the holidays, I hear about relatives who say these things. I can't even understand it, but it's so hurtful. It's so mean. It's so disrespectful. It's so awful, but it happens all the time. So another humorous, clever comeback is they make a comment about your weight. Say, you know what? My weight is a number, and my number is unlisted. Or, you know, oh, thank you for noticing, and here I thought nobody paid attention to me. Or, that's right, curvy is the new black, don't you know? Or, wow, I actually have gained weight. Thank you for letting me know, because otherwise it would have completely escaped my attention. So that's using humor. A third way of dealing with it is to deflect. They say, do you really need to eat that? Or, yeah, it looks like you gained a little weight since last year. You say, uh-huh. So, what's new with you? Or you say, uh-huh, maybe. So, how are you these days? Or, you know what, my weight is not that interesting to me. What are your plans for next year? And if they tell you that they are only asking because they are worried about your health, say, I appreciate your concern, but I don't want to discuss this. And you go back to the setting limits or the humor or the deflection. And one thing you can do is just ignore what they say completely. Just change the subject. They say, you know, are you going to go on a diet this year? And you say, so what do you think about the new tax plan? They say, you've lost weight. Even if they say, oh, you've lost weight, you know, what are you doing? You can say, you know what, that is not so interesting to me. What's going on with you? What vacation are you taking next year? You know, just you can refuse to answer the question, because so often people find themselves like defending themselves and explaining, and then you feel terrible, and then you feel shame, and then you feel humiliation, and you feel embarrassment. And then if you don't know how to validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself in a way that makes you feel good again, if you don't have those comfort words for yourself, you're vulnerable to using food to feel better. So that's why being prepared for these kinds of comments is excellent and good and important, but also being there for yourself, being a friend to yourself, being supportive to yourself, being kind to yourself, and as Anne was talking about, being accepting of yourself. Self-acceptance does not mean you love every little bit of yourself. It means you accept the things you like and you accept the things you don't like while working on them. And that's how you feel better, and that's how you get through the holidays without gaining weight. So we are just about out of time. I just want to share with you guys that I have a new 2018 Restart Challenge that's running on Facebook right now. So if you want to join the challenge, you're going to, the first 8 days of January, you're going to get lots of guidance and things to do and help and support from me and this my Facebook community. And if you write in and onto the Facebook page and tell me what's going on and how you've met the challenge, I'm going to pick from a winner, and people are going to get prizes. So yes, it's free and there are prizes. So just go to Facebook, if you're on Facebook, and look up Dr. Nina's 2018 Restart Challenge, and I hope to see you there, because we are going to start the new year off right, whether you're on Facebook on the 2018 Restart Challenge or whether you're just here with me on the radio. We're going to get 2018 off to a wonderful new start, but I will see you next week, and we will talk more about this. Thank you so much for joining me here on LA Talk Radio. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. If you want to reach me, please reach out to winthedietwar.com. You can get my free downloads. You can email me. And I'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions that you'd like me to answer on the show, I would love to hear from you, and I will answer them to the best of my ability. Have a wonderful Christmas, everyone, those of you who celebrate Christmas, and I'll see you next week.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.